Welcome back to New World Next Week. I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And I'm James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com. James, as we're taping this just hours before the independence referendum in Scotland, we don't really know the outcome, and we can only really say that, I think if Scotland's going to go down in financial flames, at least they're going to do it in service of their own people and not in the service of Brussels banksters. So they can fearmonger all day about economic uncertainty, but you can look around and go, how could that be any worse than what's already been inflicted? James, you go into this in great detail in your latest article, Yes to What? The Scottish Conundrum. So let's look at some of the other developments going on that are going to make a new world next week. Russia, China, in talks to make SWIFT alternative. This from the TASS news agency out of Russia. Russia and China are discussing setting up a system of interbank transactions, which will become an analog to international banking transaction system SWIFT, Society for Worldwide Interbank Financial Telecommunication. This was all said by First Deputy Prime Minister Igor Shuvalov during negotiations in Beijing. Yes, we have discussed and we have approved this idea, he said. Russian authorities wanted to decrease the financial market's dependence on SWIFT since the introduction of the first recent U.S. sanctions, when international payment systems Visa and MasterCard denied services to some Russian banks owned by blacklisted individuals. According to Shuvalov, Russia has also been discussing establishment of an independent ratings agency with China. Concrete proposals should be made by the end of 2014, he noted. As with regards to China's payment system UnionPay, Shuvalov said that UnionPay is ready for a full-scale collaboration and will provide all infrastructural capacities for that. Now, James, I hadn't heard of UnionPay before, so I looked it up, and what do you know? They are in the news, even though this larger story about the SWIFT alternative is flying under the radar. And why are they in the news? Apple Pay to invade China with help from UnionPay. So, James, this our first story kind of discussing the economic situation that we see. And again, we see the cloud of economic uncertainty. So whether it's Scotland or Russia, China, we see moves being made to kind of push back against the larger, more evil empire, if you will. James?
Well, that's exactly right. And I think that's the bigger picture of what we're seeing here. And I think people should really take a step back to see this bigger picture, because it's one of those ones that maybe each individual brushstroke doesn't look like something. But when you start to stand back and start to look at it, it really does amount to quite an amazing painting that's being drawn right now. And of course, this encompasses some of the other things that we've talked about, the BRICS New Development Bank and their IMF alternative that they're creating right now, and the SWIFT alternative that they're creating, and the China UnionPay starting to get more customers in Russia and other places. There is an alternative financial infrastructure that is being created right now, kind of a second world type of financial system that's coming into view, and it is significant. Again, for those who don't really know about SWIFT or what it does, it's basically like an interbank international telecommunications messaging firm. It doesn't actually settle, clear, or transfer funds, but it does send payment orders, and then banks settle amongst themselves through correspondent banking. But it is basically the backbone, the financial architecture for international payment, which is why when they want to shut a country off completely from the financial system, they just take it off of SWIFT, like what we saw with the Iranian sanctions. And the idea that they could do that, for example, to Russia would be kind of the nuclear option of sanctions. And it's a very, very important, vital thing for any sort of modern day economy to be able to link into that financial backbone. So this alternative is pretty significant. And when you look into SWIFT and what it actually accomplishes, of course, back in 2002 or whenever they finally tried to float the Total Information Awareness Office, they were talking about how they wanted to feed in every single possible piece of data imaginable, some of which, of course, included international wire payments and things of that sort. Well, how would they get that information? Well, only from going into the SWIFT database. And lo and behold, in 2006, finally, the New York Times and others reported that, oh yeah, by the way, the U.S. government got access to the SWIFT database after 9/11, and they've been looking at all their transactions. And at that time, Belgium actually complained that was in breach of European data privacy laws. And they are still working on responding to those concerns 8 years later, 8 years after it's been revealed, 15 years after it's, or 13 years after it's been put in place. So again, this is an extremely important part of that financial backbone. It's being used for spying and all of that. So the creation of alternative is always a good thing. It's better to have multiple different versions than just one. At the very least, that gives at least a little bit of competition. But let's not delude ourselves that ultimately anything that's going to be created by China and Russia and the rest is going to be fundamentally different. It's just going to be a different building block that together will make the backbone for world government. So I think we have to have that bigger picture in mind as well. But at any rate, it's fascinating what's going on right now, and I think people should be keeping their eyes on these types of stories that, as you say, are going under the radar.
And there's that Total Information Awareness Office again for the second, perhaps third week in a row here on New World Next Week. James will include a recent article called "The BRICS Plan for a New World Order Begins with a Bank." And it also just came out in the news today. Russia and Egypt seal preliminary arms deal worth $3.5 billion. Now, James, as long as we're talking about the backbone of financial structures, our second story moves back here to the States. As James, you and I were, and a lot of folks today, kind of watching the market, waiting for new Fed Chair Janet Yellen to come out with a statement. The interesting thing, and we'll get to her statement in just a moment, is what broke pretty much simultaneously, James, from the Washington Times earlier today. House approves Ron Paul's audit the Fed bill. Former Representative Ron Paul's push to audit the Federal Reserve got another boost today when the House passed the bill for the second time in 3 years and by a bigger margin than before. The bill is now sponsored by a Georgia Republican named Paul Brune or Brown, and it was approved on a 333-92 vote with all but one Republican and 106 Democrats in favor of it. That's a major difference from the last time when the majority of Democrats voted against it. Still, despite the overwhelming support, the law is likely to die. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, who had previously indicated support for such an audit, he reversed himself in 2012 and said he wouldn't let the bill come to the Senate floor. So it remains to be seen exactly what will happen there, and even when it does happen, what it would actually do. It's going to have to kind of go through, I believe, the General Accounting Office and all of that. But James, that story broke as we were watching for Janet Yellen's statement today. And when it finally came out, the market, I think, was more excited for maybe what didn't actually happen. So the boost that the phony stock market saw in the West today was just more of an aspirational hope, I believe. Fed gives no hints on first rate hikes timing. Just grabbing this from USA Today, the Federal Reserve reassured financial markets Wednesday that a key interest rate will stay near zero for a considerable time after its, I have to put quotes around, bond purchases end next month, deferring for now a clear signal on when it will begin to shift away from yada, yada, yada. The question, James, at the end of quantitative easing, what has it done to us? That's the question.
Yeah, the question is, what has it done? And the answer is, it's blown up another bubble. And we see that clearly in the equities markets. And we see, of course, also the bond bubble that they've blown up, that they're now going to try to unwind. So they're going to try to take off the training wheels off of the bicycle. But the economy clearly is not ready for it from every conceivable measure. Even the jobs data and all of that, as rigged as it is, you can still see how ridiculous it is with literally 53 million temporary workers now, or workers that are classed as moonlighting or temporary or other. Freelancers. So again, it's not a stable economy at this point. There's been really no recovery since 2008. In fact, real wages have declined. Yada, yada, yada. So I think that's all smoke and mirrors. On the audit the Fed story, this is great. I'm glad that you caught this because I actually didn't catch it with all of the other hoopla going on right now. It's good that this is still going through. I think it's still going to be a very long way before we see it actually getting signed into law. But hopefully, I mean, it's getting closer and closer to that point. Of course, this is not the be-all and end-all of combating the Fed. This is only a very small first step towards that. But the fact that it is continually increasing in popularity amongst the Congress critters shows that, at the very least, their constituents are on their back about it. And for all those people who continue to puppet the Fed's own line that, well, we already audit ourselves, it's okay, they should be aware of 31 U.S. Code Section 714, subparagraph B. which lays out all of the exemptions by which the Federal Reserve does not have to be audited for transactions with central banks or foreign governments, transactions involving anything to do with monetary policy decisions, including discount window operations, reserves of member banks, securities credit, interest on deposits, and open market operations. They're not audited for transactions made under the direction of the FOMC, and they are not audited for communication among members of the board or employees of the Federal Reserve System. So again, there's all sorts of exemptions that this audit the Fed bill would eliminate, and it would also make sure that the results of the audit were made available to Congress. So those are significant steps. This is not an insignificant bill. It's not an insignificant thing. It's only a tiny baby step towards the way of dismantling and tearing apart the Federal Reserve beast, but it is progress of a sort, and it does let us get our foot in the door to get people aware of that bigger picture. So for people who are interested in that, and there have people in their lives who still don't understand the Federal Reserve or why it should be opposed, may I humbly suggest my own documentary, Century of Enslavement: History of the Federal Reserve, to get people aware of the nature of this beast and why and how it must be dismantled.
James, as I think as we were watching the market today, this other little bit of news broke as well. The House voted today to give the man commonly referred to as Barack Obama the authority to train and arm moderate Syrian rebels. So that was another story again as we were watching to see what Janet Yellen would say, other interesting moves being made by, as you correctly noted, our Congress critters. So, James, our third and final story this week is a bit of a grab bag of stories, and it's something we've been returning to somewhat regularly recently on New World Next Week for the past several months. And those are what we kind of call good news stories. And we touched on this last week, and there's a lot of different ways that we could interpret and look up and down what we would call good news stories. But some of these stories I've just kind of quickly grabbed are things that in such a kind of crazy world, you have to kind of, I think what Jello Biafra called monkey wrenching the New World Order. And there's lots of sort of pranks and things that I think can actually have a big effect on the public's thoughts. So first quick one, this from Threat Level earlier today, middle school dropout codes a clever chat program that foils NSA spying. But as far as the web goes, a really funny thing happened the other day, James. I saw this news story. Clear Channel rebrands as iHeartMedia. And I just tweeted and noted, yeah, because Blackwater had to change their name from Z and then to Academy. But what I did, and what I usually try and do on Twitter, at Media Monarchy, is include the correct tags. That's how the other folks will see it, and you can get conversations going. So I tagged at Clear Channel in that tweet, and they replied with some sort of jokey response, and I realized some random dude scooped up the account of at Clear Channel after the rebranding and the name change, and he even replied to me and said, quote, well, someone had to. What if some sort of criminal mastermind did it? Do you want Lex Luthor running this? I sure don't. And he proceeded to kind of tweet seemingly somewhat nonsensical comedic things, but he kept the icon as sort of a parody of Clear Channel. So I really get a kick out of things like that. James, any thoughts on those?
Not on that specifically, but it is interesting, as you say, the way Blackwater or all of these, you know, companies that have had their names rightfully soiled, just try to change their name and hope the public will forget. Hopefully they won't. And one sign of that, something that we've documented in the past and that I'll throw in here at the end, trust in mass media returns to all-time low. Gallup poll just released yesterday. So the trust in media percentage of the Americans who trust mass media down to 40%, which is, again, the all-time low. Not nearly low enough, but at any rate, we're making progress. And so we've been documenting this this figure and the and television and newspaper decline for the entirety of the New World Next Week series. So I thought I'd just add this one in.
James, two other quick ones as we wrap up this episode 204 of New World Next Week. Angry mob tosses Ukrainian politician in the garbage. I got this one from the always interesting at Lionel Media. Vitaly Zhuravsky, he ran into an angry Ukrainian crowd and they literally pick him up and carry him and throw him in the garbage. The other one is a really interesting one. Motorcycle riding trash vigilante serves dirty justice. I saw this several days ago, and it's now kind of filtered to the top, and I've seen it all in kind of mainstream media outlets. So I think it's interesting, like a lot of the so-called kind of viral videos, you got to wonder if it's staged, because a lot of them are. But this video out of Russia, and the translation is elusive girl on a motorcycle against debris, which I love, really makes my day. James, fake or not, litter's a huge pet peeve of mine. I would love to see things like this kind of kick in and have the copycat effect kind of take hold. And the last bit for me is probably a little bit of shameful joy or schadenfreude as I see what I know to be the sort of racist, fascist, sexist institution of mainstream sports in America really falling apart and tearing itself apart at the seams. So I'm kind of enjoying watching that. That's my bit of good news, James.
Your bit of schadenfreude, I guess. Well, there you go. And yeah, well, you know, there you go, kiddies. For all you kiddies working out on a master's thesis, there's one for you, talking about viral videos and the copycat effect and how it's shaping our society. So there's something in there to be mined, and perhaps I'll get into it in a future episode. But for now, I think we'll leave things there. James Evan Pilato, absolutely, again, great, interesting stories. Thank you so much for digging them up.
Thanks so much, man. Take care.